Geek Radio Daily for finally Frackin' Friday. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, all the ships at sea, it is here at long, long last. And yes, tonight is a Jackbox night, so please come out and play with us, won't you? We'll pop a message. Just send it in on Facebook. We'll send you a link. It'll be awesome. It'll be awesome. Welcome to the 31st of March, your last day of the month. We are the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. And though I said the word we, because of a very pressing and important familial moment, podcaster Rick Siegfried cannot be here. So today it's just going to be you and I, the wonderful Billy Flynn. Did I mention that it's National Crayon Day? So melt yourself down a couple of brown ones and have a lovely cup of hot cocoa. On this day, in 1880, Wabash, Indiana becomes the first town anywhere to be completely illuminated by electrical lighting, less than 2 months after connecting the world's first electric streetlight on February 2nd. 1889, the Eiffel Tower is officially opened at the World's Fair in Paris, France. It's one of the most recognizable sites to be destroyed by natural disasters. 1903, Richard Pearse of New Zealand reputedly flies a powered heavier-than-air machine 9 months before the Wright brothers in their famous well-documented flight at Kitty Hawk. But his PR people were not as good. 1930, the MPAA institutes the Motion Picture Production Code, the Hays Code, the Production Code. It's a censorship guideline concerning crime, religion, sex, and violence in films that many filmmakers found a way to get around. Same day, John Logie Baird achieves the synchronization of sound with television pictures. 1958, the United States Navy establishes its first atomic submarine division composed of 6 submarines, 3 of which are atomic, the Nautilus, Seawolf, and Skate. Skate? 1966, Luna 10, the first spacecraft to orbit the moon, is launched by the USSR from an Earth-orbiting platform. 1970, NASA Satellite Explorer 1 re-enters Earth's atmosphere at the completion of its 12 years in orbit, launched in 58 in response to Sputnik 1. It was the first satellite to detect the Van Allen radiation belt. 1981, Dr. Ananda Chakrabarty is granted a patent for the genetically engineered species of single-celled Pseudomonas, bacteria capable of breaking down crude oil into simple substances fit for consumption by aquatic life, so we can spill more oil. Same day, the first Golden Raspberry Awards, the Razzies, are held in Los Angeles to recognize the worst movies released by Hollywood. Can't Stop the Music is awarded Worst Picture of 1980. Robert Greenwald, Worst Director for Xanadu. 1985, Hulk Hogan, Mr. T, several others from the WWF, which is now the WWE, participate in the first WrestleMania at Madison Square Garden in New York City. 1995, Microsoft releases Microsoft Bob, a front-end interface designed to introduce users to new computers to Windows 3.1. 1999, Warner Brothers releases The Matrix, directed by the Wachowskis, starring Keanu Reeves, Lawrence Fishburne, Carrie Ann Moss, Hugo Weaving, Joey Pants, and Gloria Foster. Oh my God, the world was never the same. 2005, the day after the BBC announced the new Doctor Who series would be renewed for a second season, the BBC press office prematurely announces under pressure from the British press that Christopher Eccleston was leaving the series. 2010, due to a mistake by the assistant, the director of Parks and Recreation Department of Pawnee, Indiana, is subjected to 94 meetings in one day. 2028, Wayland Industries becomes the first company in history to achieve a market capitalization of $100 billion in 5 years. Aren't we glad they didn't make an AI? Oh, wait. Birthdays. Jessica Zor is 38, Vanessa in Gossip Girl, Laura in Kingdom, Ted 2, Anthony Lewis is 40, Tommy on Torchwood. Tommy, oh God. Adrian Holmes is 49. Basquiat on Smallville. Battlestar Galactica, Blood and Chrome. Elysium, Impastor. Ewan McGregor's 52 from Trainspotting, the Star Wars prequels, and Men Who Stare at Goats. Craig McCracken's 52, created the Powerpuff Girls, Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends, tons of stuff. Mark McClure is 66. Jimmy Olsen in the Superman movies and in Supergirl. Rhea Perlman is 75. Carla in Cheers, The Mindy Project. Gabe Kaplan, 78. Mr. Carter, a phenomenal poker player, and doesn't mean Groucho Marx. Christopher Walken is 80 from The Dead Zone, A View to a Kill, Suicide Kings, Country Bears. Shirley Jones is 89, The Music Man, The Partridge Family, Grandma's Boy. Richard Chamberlain is 89 from The Thornbirds, Shogun, King Solomon's Mines. William Daniels is 96, Boy Meets World, St. Elsewhere, Kit in Knight Rider. No longer with us, born in 1916, Lucille Bliss, Cinderella, Smurfette, Mrs. Fitzgibbons in The Secret of NIMH. 1921, Peggy Ray, Mrs. Rogner on Gunsmoke, Rose on The Waltons, and Lula Hogg on The Dukes of Hazzard. 1922, Richard Kiley, the Cosmos and Howard the Duck, the voice of the tour guide in Jurassic Park. Looking at the tube tonight, CBS has got your SWAT and Bodie and the team looking at things after an internal investigator begins suspecting Jake of being the serial arsonist behind a string of recent fires on a new Fire Country and Blue Bloods. ABC's got Shark Tank and 2020. NBC, Lopez versus Lopez. Young Rock, Dateline, Tube Town. Fox, WWE, Friday Night Smackdown. CW's got your Penn and Teller could die at any minute on a new Penn and Teller Fool Us. AMC's got The Legend of Tarzan. FX, the Seattle Dragons at the Arlington Renegades on XFL football. We're back and we're a serious sport this time. Watch us. Please, FXX, The Simpsons, but mostly Bob's Burgers Marathon. FXM has me, myself, and Irene. IFC is showing Revenge of the Nerds. And, you know, if you really just don't watch that one part in the movie, it's a very, very sweet film. If you don't watch that one part. BBC America, BBC America's showing The Shining. It's weird what things were acceptable back in the 80s, man. So Paramount's got Grease, but not Grease 2. So really, who in the hell even cares? Sci-Fi Channel, Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. It was very good fake out that she pulled on that. It was very good. I gotta give you that. Turner Classic Movies is showing Psycho. Good Times TBS has Black Panther. TNT's got your Doctor Strange. Science is gonna have a BattleBots marathon, but we're gonna be watching the Lifetime Movie Network. A woman finds herself finding the perfect place and roommate after needing a fresh start due to her recent breakup, but problems quickly ensue when she begins to encounter strange occurrences, which lead her to believe she's being stalked. Camellia Sena and Daniela Rivera star in Rooming with Danger.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update.
Kate has a new home which she thinks is simply divine, until it seems the house has its own personality and is not thrilled to have her there. Wow, everyone is just trying to live a happy life, but all ended up trapped in a presence recital, in an apparition account, a phantom chronicle. Though I suppose someone considered it a coterie of consternation. Hashtag Chappy. Forever.
Well, let's read some emails, shall we?
We shall. Hi, guys. I love Will Ferrell and just about anything he's done, so I tried the Ron Burgundy podcast. I couldn't enjoy it because Burgundy, not Ferrell, was mistreating his female personal assistant. He's known for that. I know Ferrell isn't punching down and is trying to show what's wrong with Burgundy, but it was just too wrong for me. Love Barry Bostwick's spot for you, and he was wonderful at GalaxyCon last weekend. Saturday night, he warmed with the crowd for Rocky Horror and the Pineapple-Shaped Lamps Improv Shadowcast. Barry showed how much he still loves Rocky and the fans. He was kind of like the TV preacher who's not out for your money. For wrap-up, Barry led us all on a chant of, "Don't dream it, be it." I've heard about Erin Johansson and her missing cat, Ruby. Love the "Are You Being Served?" joke. I've heard that line and similar lines from Mrs. Slocum many times. I also love the Aristocats. When I saw it decades ago, Rich, I loved your joke about the Zem car trying to draft behind semis. Panera is scaring me. I'm keeping my hands away from their scanners. Big corporations store personal information. Never get hacked. Laugh or cry, Rich. Thanks for the roll call of corporations that have sold personal data. Better to know than not know. I love the call back to the Sea of Tranquility. I recall watching live and recorded video from Apollo missions that landed there. And yes, Awkwafina is easy on the eyes. She's also very funny. Truth. Sorry, I'm hopeless with the Chad and Abby puzzles. I need to check out this 10 Things I Hate About You. Wow, that was a great clip. Stay safe. That is from Bill. Bill, yes, you watch 10 Things I Hate About You. You're going to love it. It's one of the best versions of Taming of the Shrew I have ever seen. Good morning, geeky people. I wish to add my voice to PRS's call from Thursday for Sci-Fi to produce a Sharknado. The power would be almighty, comprised of every school, pod, and association one might say would include all of the 40,000 leagues under the sea. Please wish me luck this weekend. It's my birthday trip to Vegas for one of my many poker tournaments. That is from Mad Sai. Well, good frickin' luck to you, sir. And you know what? We'll get another GRD poker night happening next month. I've said it. It's on the record. It will be official. We're going to make it happen. Okay, maybe in May. But either way, it's coming. I promise you. Won't you drop us a note? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Of course, a voicemail or text message. You need these magic numbers.
510-GRD-CURL.
I really need to get back to Vegas and play some more poker. I really do.
Hi, I'm Terry J. Ammon, host of Video Fuzzy, a media-centric nostalgia bomb currently working through thousands of DVD transfers from VHS tapes of television you may remember fondly, or not, as well as current recordings, cross-connections, and comments along the way. Find my blog at videofuzzy.blogspot.com, and my Video Fuzzy podcast wherever you get your podcasts. For Video Fuzzy, I'm Terry J. Almond. Happy viewing! It might be amazing, it might just be sketchy, and we'll find out together on Video Fuzzy.
Hi, this is Gareth David Lloyd, and you are listening to Geek Radio Daily with Billy Flynn.
Hey, if nobody else is here, you can be my wingman anytime, sir.
I got an idea for a movie.
Doesn't everybody?
Sure. And in limited release, on a search to uncover the mysterious circumstances surrounding a father's death, a newly appointed police officer is assigned to the last shift of a decommissioned police station where a notoriously vicious cult saw their demise. The lone officer soon finds herself barraged by terrifying paranormal events, and in the process is taken on a journey in which she learns the shocking truth behind her family's connection to the demented cult leader. Jessica Sula and Anthony DeBlasio star in Malum, which could have had a better title. Nationwide release, convinced that it is one last necessary crime on the path to redemption, unapologetic and free-spirited, Inez kidnaps 6-year-old Terry from the foster care system, holding onto their secret, and each other, mother and son, set out to reclaim their home, their identity, and a stability in a rapidly changing New York City. Tiana Taylor, Avon Courtney, and Linnea Waithe star in 1001. Daniel is brought together with Allison, the once-thriving young woman with a bright future who was involved in an unimaginable tragedy that took her daughter's life, and as grief-stricken Daniel navigates raising his teenage granddaughter and Allison seeks redemption, they discover that friendship, forgiveness, and hope can flourish in unlikely places. Morgan Freeman and Florence Pugh star in A Good Person. And the one we've all been waiting for, a charming thief and a band of unlikely adventurers undertake an epic heist to retrieve a lost relic, but things go dangerously awry when they run afoul of the wrong person. Chris Pine, Michelle Rodriguez, and Hugh Grant starring Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Among Thieves. But if you'd like to keep your capers a little less contrived and out there, then Svengoolie has a couple of bumbling comedians who try to make a buck guarding a valuable mummy before they're drawn into a plot by cult worshippers to steal a cursed medallion. You'll know exactly who's in it when I tell you that Svengoolie this weekend will be showing Abbott and Costello Meet the Mummy only on MeTV.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek news! Thank you, Courtney. Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. In an interview, original X-Files creator Chris Carter hinted that Black Panther and Creed director Ryan Coogler is developing a new version of Fox's iconic sci-fi franchise, The X-Files. I want to believe. What's not made clear is it's going to be a ground-up reboot, another revival, a legacy sequel, or something else entirely. All that's known is the filmmaker's involvement at this time, but the truth is out there. Carter said in an interview, "I just spoke to a young man, Ryan Coogler, who's going to remount The X-Files with a diverse cast, so he's got his work cut out for him because we covered so much territory, and I can't wait to see how he's going to head top having sex with a vampire, time travel, the whole damn home episode." Original series, of course, follow FBI agents Fox Mulder, David Duchovny, Dana Scully, Gillian Anderson, by Panic, who investigate supernatural phenomena. Ranging from a global conspiracy involving alien colonization to more monstrous events involving all sorts of creature. And it had some unnerving sights. I mean, it had gender-bending Amish folks. It had killer cockroaches. It had a dancing cowboy Mulder on mushrooms. And that was terrifying. During DVD Direct, Joe Manganiello offered a brief update on the documentary he's filming for Wizards of the Coast to celebrate Dungeons & Dragons' 50th anniversary. And before diving into it, he took a moment to acknowledge how the game had informed his love of stories, and then he revealed it led to working with Wizards of the Coast on a live-action television adaptation of the Dragonlance novels that he loves so much. The novels initially written by Margaret Weiss and Tracy Hickman, though many other authors have written stories for the series since. And wait, is this where Marlon Wayans comes back to the franchise? In February, he appeared in a video with Black Forest Wood Company showcasing the custom table they'd made for his D&D sessions. And during the video, he briefly mentioned the documentary and that he was working on a TV series for Wizards of the Coast. "I work for Dungeons & Dragons," Manganiello said, "so I'm actually shooting a documentary right now, and I'm developing a TV show for them." And we were sort of hoping he meant a live action version of the classic cartoon. Wizards confirmed work on a live-action Dungeons & Dragons series, but it did not mention Joe was involved among its creative team, nor confirm anything about the plot. Red Notice director Rawson Marshall Thurber wrote, "Red Notice director Rawson Marshall Thurber wrote and will direct the pilot episode, with Paramount Pictures and E1 producing the project. Both producers also worked on the upcoming Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves film, Both producers also worked on Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves, which led to speculation that the characters might appear in the series. Now, it remains unconfirmed if Manganiello and Thurber's projects are separate series, or the same, or if the mist will rise in any version at all. While Manganiello's documentary for Dungeons & Dragons 50th is set to premiere sometime in 2024, the Dragonlance series has no confirmed release window yet, which is what happens when you fail your role for initiative. Into the Spider-Verse still holds bragging rights as one of the best, if not the best, comic book movie ever, and of course, a sequel is coming, but there's also a little extra slice of awesome as Sony Pictures has a short film based on its lead character, Miles Morales, which means they're saving Spider-Man 2099 for the movie. Son of a glitch, that is crash! The Spider Within, set in the world of Across the Spider-Verse, will premiere at the Annecy International Animation Film Festival, June 11th through the 17th. The short film is a collaborative effort by Sony Pictures Animation and Sony Pictures Imageworks. With the project debuting just a week after Across the Spider-Verse's theatrical debut, there's no word yet on when The Spider Within will get a wider release, or if Nicholas Hammond gets a cameo this time. Look, that favorite things line from yesterday? That was frickin' brilliant! The Spider Within chronicles Miles' battle with anxiety as he balances the superhero responsibilities with his life as a teenager, student, and friend. During one particular day, he struggles to handle the pressure, suffering a panic attack that forces him to confront his anxiety. He's then encouraged to seek professional help for his anxiety, learning that reaching out to others shows just as much bravery as protecting the city from evil forces. The short film is part of Sony's Leading and Empowering New Storytellers, LENS, mentorship program launched last year to offer high-potential candidates and diverse groups opportunities to develop their leadership capabilities. And a hero talking to an analyst about everything? Sure, you can say it's a riff on The Sopranos, but I think that's a great plotline for a Deadpool movie! LENS co-creators Michelle Remy-Kyoto and David Schulenberg are guiding four candidates who are given director, writer, VFX supervisor, animation supervisor roles to make The Spider Within. According to the duo, we're incredibly proud of how hard work all four filmmakers has paid off. They far exceeded all expectations as they stepped into the leadership roles and created our remarkable short. And I hope it is, because, you know, we are definitely going to give it a spin. The makers of Dolphin announced that GameCube and the Nintendo System, whose name I don't say, emulator will come to Steam Early Access later this year. It promises to let users play classics like The Legend of Zelda The Wind Waker and Super Mario Galaxy with improved graphics, better performance than the original consoles offered, and I'm sure Nintendo's lawyers are thrilled, and they have to be, or else we would be reporting to you that they're shutting the whole project down. The open source emulator, which has been in ongoing development for 2 decades, will be free to download and will support 4K displays as well as modern controllers. It also has built-in net play for online multiplayer as well as support for community mods, randomizers, custom level packs. Other perks include playing with save states, slow motion, rapid fire. I just want to know, will I actually be able to play Super Monkey Ball 2? Because nothing is going to make Ikaruga playable, not a damn thing. The emulator's makers are quick to point out that Dolphin doesn't come with any games, something they note repeatedly on the Steam page. The software is built to run legally acquired games, the notice reads. Dolphin emulator does not come with games. We do not condone piracy in any shape or form. Now, you can take your existing game collections, rip them to PC, use the disc images on the emulator. There's also no shortages of ways to download pirated copies of console games, which is one of the reasons Nintendo has historically treated emulation with contempt, like how I treat Kitty Kong, Tingle, and Slippy Toad. Steam Deck users in particular have had a field day recently while using emulators to access their old game collections on the go, and often with better performance. Valve even accidentally included the icon for a Switch emulator called Yuzu in one of its trailers for the PC gaming handheld before quickly deleting the reference. And they had to do it quick so Nintendo didn't have to smack them down with the master hand. Super Mario got a Lush collaboration. Lush has a collection of bath products in a variety of styles. Now there's a question mark block bath bomb, Luigi's shower gel, peach body spray, and, you know, lava soap missed a marketing opportunity by not making Bowser soap, you idiots! Some people, though, have been complaining as it seems that the Mario bath, the question mark bath bomb, turns your bath into a pool of piss. Mamma mia! The question mark block looks cool. One of the biggest bath bombs Lush carries, and it's a perfect recreation of the object from the games, but folks are saying it makes it look like you had an accident in the tub, and for the love of God, please tell me that the smell does not match. Some of the promotional images manages to get the yellow looking a little brighter, making it less piss adjacent. Lathering up some bubbles seems to help with the illusion as well, which is a bit nicer than laying in a tub of strange yellow liquid for half an hour or so, like you did in college. Because the world is a strange place, the question mark bath bomb is sold out folks. But more of them are coming, so you can get one and make your own decision. Are people taking this way out of proportion, or will you say, it's a P, Mario? GRD is licensed to the Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter, and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. And yeah, you should come join us for a Jackbox tonight. I didn't play the Jackbox Return Sounder because I'm alone and I really needed some Gareth David Lloyd in my life. Drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Of course, a voicemail text message. Use the magic numbers of
510-GRD.
Oh, and you're safe, Syrinx. We now have enough correct guesses that will not tie you tying the all-time lowest time thing. I've spoken far too much there. Far too much.
What do you think?
It stinks.
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
What the hell are you still doing here?
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Good night, suckers.
Well, I thought every part of it was good, but overall I hated it.
I feel exactly the opposite, but the same.
If you could go back in time, Germany, say, before Hitler came to power, knowing what you know now, what would you do? Would you kill him?
Is that why you were sent for me, John? To ask me this, this question?
I have to talk to you, Sam, because I've had another episode.
Yes. Go on.
I've been tutoring this boy. His name is Stuart, and in the vision, I saw him drown. I saw him die, Sam, but that's not the point. In the vision, there was something missing. It was something I couldn't see.
How do you mean?
I don't know. It was like a blank spot. Dead zone.
First of all, tell me, did the boy in fact drown? You say you saw him drown.
No. His father wanted to take him to play hockey. I talked him out of it. The boy's alive.
Ah. Yes. Don't you see? Don't you see how clear it all is? Not only can you see the future, you can...
I can change it.